One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Welcome to the Paranormal Deep Dive from Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks.
You might think the dead rest easy on the Kansas Plains. That once the yellow crime scene tape is pulled down, silence returns and time buries all memory. But in Holcomb, Kansas, there's a house that tells a different story. A farmhouse, to be exact, sturdy, modest, the kind you'd pass on a quiet drive without a second glance. But this house once held a secret soaked in fear and 4 sudden deaths that shocked the nation. This is the home of the Clutter family, immortalized in Truman Capote's In Cold Blood, a place where love once lived, until it was silenced one night in 1959 by 2 killers searching for a non-existent fortune. Since that night, visitors and former residents have whispered of strange sounds. Cold pockets of air that drift through locked rooms, unseen footsteps climbing stairs, and something else. Something that makes you want to leave as soon as you arrive. Is it haunted by the family who died there, or by the memory of the crime itself? Does violence imprint itself on the walls, the floors, the air? Or are we haunted by what we already know and what we're too afraid to forget? I'm Tony Bruschi. Let's dig in. It started like any other weekend in Holcomb, Kansas, a farming town nestled deep in the heartland. Wide skies, narrow roads, and neighbors who knew each other's dogs by name. In 1959, Holcomb was the kind of place where families didn't lock their doors, and the Clutter family, in many ways, embodied everything this town believed in. Herbert Clutter was a respected farmer known for modernizing his land and practicing innovative agriculture. He was also deeply religious, a devout Methodist, and a devoted husband and father. His wife Bonnie, by contrast, struggled quietly with depression and physical ailments, though she maintained a reputation for kindness. Together, they raised 4 children. By the fall of 1959, only the 2 youngest, Nancy, a vivacious high schooler, and Kenyon, an inventive 15-year-old, were still living at home. The Clutter's house, located on River Valley Farm just outside Holcomb, was modern for its time. 2 stories, well-lit, with a private office and a spacious basement. Everything about it reflected order, stability, and peace. But behind that picture-perfect facade, something sinister was already on its way. In a prison cell 400 miles away, 2 ex-cons, Perry Smith and Richard Dick Hickok, hatched a plan based on a lie. A former cellmate of Hickok's had worked briefly for the Clutters and claimed the family kept a safe full of cash. That single detail was all it took. No verification, no deeper thought, just greed and the promise of easy money. The plan was set. On the night of November 14th, 1959, Smith and Hickok drove across Kansas. By the early hours of the 15th, they stood outside the Clutter home with a shotgun and a knife. They broke in, tied up the family in separate rooms, and one by one, executed them. No safe was found, no money beyond a few dollars, and the brutality, utterly senseless. Nancy and Bonnie were shot in their respective bedrooms. Kenyon was murdered in the basement. Herbert Clutter was found in the furnace room, his throat slashed before being shot. The shock reverberated not just through Holcomb, but across the entire country. The scene left behind was one of absolute horror, and it didn't take long for investigators to realize this wasn't a random killing. The Kansas Bureau of Investigation, led by Agent Alvin Dewey, descended on the town. It was Dewey who would later become a central character in Capote's In Cold Blood. He, like the rest of Holcomb, had known the Clutters personally. The community's sense of safety was shattered. Families began locking their doors, keeping loaded guns nearby. Church sermons shifted from faith to fear. The Clutter home, once a place of hospitality, became an ominous landmark, whispered about by locals. Some said they couldn't even drive past it anymore. Perry Smith and Dick Hickok were arrested 6 weeks later in Las Vegas after a botched getaway across multiple states. Their confessions sealed their fate. In 1965, both were hanged at the Kansas State Penitentiary in Lansing, but something was left behind in that house, something people started noticing not long after the murders. The next owners of the Clutter home tried to return it to normalcy, but rumors began spreading that footsteps were heard at night, that a soft crying echoed from Nancy's room, that lights turned on by themselves. The new residents never spoke publicly, but locals swore the house gave off a feeling cold, heavy, and watching. Some residents wondered if these stories were born from trauma. After all, the entire town had been psychologically scarred by the event. Could it be that the sheer horror of what had happened was enough to stain the place? Mental health experts would later describe such environments as trauma imprints, where the mind, overwhelmed by emotional weight, projects sensations that feel tangible, even real. Environmental explanations surfaced, too. The rural location, the aging materials of the home, shifting wood and faulty wiring, things that, under the right conditions, might mimic the symptoms of a haunting. Floorboards creak in empty houses, cold drafts seep through basements. Grief has a way of playing tricks on the senses. Still, the stories persisted. Some reported that when walking by the house late at night, a light could be seen flickering in the upstairs window, Nancy's old room. Others said that the new owners had sealed off parts of the house entirely, refusing to enter certain rooms. None of this was confirmed, but in a town still healing from a violent past, mystery clung like fog. To this day, the house remains private property. It's not a tourist stop, not a memorial, and certainly not a museum. But the people of Holcomb haven't forgotten. You don't forget something like that. Years passed, but the whispers around the Clutter house didn't fade. They changed. In the early 1970s, another family briefly moved into the home. According to locals, they left without much explanation. A former Holcomb resident claimed in an interview years later that the father of that family wouldn't sleep in the upstairs bedroom where Nancy Clutter had died. It wasn't the memory that disturbed him. He said it was the feeling, like something unseen was watching from the corners, silent, waiting. Reports continued in hushed tones, sudden cold spots that moved like a breeze with no source. Phantom footsteps, particularly from the hallway to the stairs, the feeling of being followed within the home. One visitor described the house as perfectly normal on the outside, but as soon as the door shut behind me, I felt pressure in my chest. That same visitor claimed the house seemed to breathe, the air heavy as if saturated with memory. By the 1990s, interest in paranormal investigation had grown, and stories about the Clutter home began appearing in books, blogs, and forums focused on haunted sites. Though the house remains private property and off-limits to most, a few paranormal researchers claim to have either visited the grounds with permission or conducted remote investigations. One of the more persistent claims involves the basement. Two of the murders, Kenyon's and Herbert's, occurred there in separate corners of the house. People passing the property have reported seeing a light flicker in the basement windows. Windows, they say, are usually blacked out. Some described a shadow moving behind the glass, even when no one was believed to be home. More recently, paranormal investigators working from the edge of the property claimed to capture EVPs, electronic voice phenomena. In one recording, they say a faint voice can be heard whispering, "Don't hurt them." In another, a woman's voice seems to sob the word, "Please." Skeptics argue these are just wind or auditory pareidolia, our brains trying to make sense of random noise, but those who've heard them in person describe a disturbing clarity. One investigator, a former trauma nurse turned medium, claimed the house is not just haunted, but emotionally radioactive. In a podcast interview, she said the house doesn't want visitors. It holds on to what happened there. It's like walking into grief that never ended. The upstairs hallway, particularly near Nancy's room, continues to be the subject of eerie accounts. Some believe the spirit of Nancy remains trapped in that space. A teenage boy who accompanied his father on a rare visit to the property reportedly burst into tears upon entering the second floor. He couldn't explain it. He just said it felt wrong. There's a theory among paranormal researchers, residual haunting, the idea that trauma under certain conditions imprints itself into a space like a recording, playing over and over again. There's no consciousness to these entities, no awareness, just a loop, a scream, a flash of violence, a sob that never stops. Could the Clutter Home be such a place, a setting where tragedy became so concentrated that it soaked into the walls? Not everyone agrees. Some psychologists and trauma specialists argue that confirmation bias plays a major role. When someone walks into a house knowing the full story of what happened, how a family was murdered in their sleep, the mind may begin to interpret normal occurrences as supernatural. The creak of a stair, the groan of old plumbing, even the wind might sound like a whisper if you're expecting to hear one. And then there's emotional suggestion, the powerful, often subconscious impact of a story. Visitors walk in expecting fear, and their bodies respond accordingly. Faster heart rate, dry mouth, sweat, and sensory distortions. In this view, the Clutter House is haunted not by ghosts, but by America's memory of the murders. Still, some stories are harder to explain. In 2017, a documentary crew hoping to film an exterior shot of the house reported a malfunction in their equipment. Multiple cameras stopped recording when aimed at the front door, even though batteries were full. The equipment functioned normally once they returned to the highway. Coincidence, maybe, but it added another thread to the house's growing legend. To this day, neighbors remain protective of the home. Most refuse to discuss it on record. The Clutters were good people, one longtime resident said. What happened to them is not a ghost story. It's a tragedy, and the house deserves peace. But the stories continue, passed down quietly, written in margins of books, shared in the corners of online forums, a flicker of light in the window, a voice in the basement, a girl's presence felt, but never seen. The Clutter House stands in the same spot it always has, white and still, tucked back from the road. It doesn't advertise, it doesn't invite, but it remembers. So what do we make of it? A quiet home on the Kansas plains, a family once full of promise, shattered in one night by greed and brutality. Decades later, the house still stands, and depending on who you ask, it either holds nothing or everything. The stories we've heard about voices in the dark, footsteps on stairs, and a presence that never left are chilling. But are they paranormal, or are they psychological echoes born from the very real terror that once filled those rooms? It's easy to imagine ghosts when we already know the ending. When the walls of a house have absorbed such fear, such pain, our minds might paint in shadows where none exist. That's confirmation bias in action. A drip in the pipes becomes a whisper. A cold breeze becomes a breath. It's not that people are lying. It's that the brain is doing what it does best, making sense of the unspeakable. But that doesn't mean the energy of tragedy isn't real. Trauma has a weight, and places like the Clutter Home may not be haunted by spirits in the traditional sense, but by something heavier. Memory. Grief. That quiet question we never stop asking. How could this happen? Maybe the Clutter House doesn't need ghosts to be haunted. Maybe the story alone is enough. I'm Tony Bruschi. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any episodes and so you can join us again for another Paranormal Deep Dive.
Want to dig deeper in the Paranormal Deep Dive? Press subscribe now wherever you download podcasts and catch brand new Paranormal Deep Dives every single day from Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks podcast.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.